many of you who were in our Bible study are glad to be back at Bible study today? Yeah, I am too. I don't know what your break was like, but mine was really quite eventful. My daughter got married. So as every good mom, I had to bring a picture. This is Lindsay and this is Tyler. Lindsay is the runner in our family. And I've learned a lot about running from her since I've never been a runner myself. But I have listened to her and watched her and seen what she's done and learned quite a bit about running. But you know, even if we aren't runners, if we've never been a triathlete or a swimmer, there are things we know. We know it takes a lot of fuel to make it through a long race, don't we? You know, a marathoner will eat huge amounts of carbohydrates the week before the race. But a long race means that you consume thousands of calories. So eating the week before isn't enough. The runner has to refuel even during the race. Now, even I, as a non-runner, had learned that I need to daily refuel my body. Several years ago after work, I stopped to run some errands. And I felt so bad all over, and I was lightheaded, and I just felt like crying, and I thought, something is really wrong with me. Maybe I've got a disease that's coming to light. Maybe I'm having a heart attack. I mean, I was really concerned. I felt so bad. So I called my husband. Now, I've thought about that. Why do you call your husband? He is not a doctor. He really knows nothing about those things, but I called my husband. The good thing was, in this case, it was a good idea because my husband is wiser than I am. And he went, Kay, you've been fasting all day. That's why you feel so bad. Duh, that's really true. I had, since 6 p.m. the night before, I'd only had water and a little bit of juice. My body had run out of energy, totally. And we know that's true. If you don't daily take in fuel for your body, it begins to affect you physically and even emotionally, as it affected me that day. Well, the truth is, it happens spiritually. If we don't spiritually fuel ourselves, then our spirits run out of energy. We can't make it to the end of the race that God has put us on because we don't have the spiritual energy to make it. Today, we're going to look at the need to fuel spiritually for the Christian life. And we know that Paul used the metaphor of a race for the Christian life many, many times in the scripture. So we've chosen to use that for our study of lessons from Paul. First, we want to turn to Matthew 4, 1 to 4. This will be our main verses for today. And this was when Jesus was being tempted. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus quoted the Old Testament here when the tempter came and said, "You need bread, you need food." Jesus said, "We don't just live by physical food, but by the words that come from the mouth of God." There's a spiritual food that is every bit as important as the physical food. And when he quoted this, he was quoting from Moses. And if we went back to the quote in Deuteronomy, what we would see is that God used the manna in the Old Testament as a picture of the scriptures. Every day in the wilderness, as the Jews wandered through the wilderness, they would have to gather the manna as their daily sustenance for life. And God said, "My word is like manna. You have to gather it all the time, continually, and eat on it to sustain yourself spiritually." So the question for each of us is this: are we running on empty spiritually by ingesting the temporal over the spiritual? Are we running on empty because we're taking in the temporal over the spiritual? Do we take into our lives and hearts more of the spiritual, more of God's word, or are we taking in more of the temporal, the things that are going to pass away someday? Are we focused on the eternal more than the temporal, or the temporal more than the eternal? Now, there's nothing wrong with food. There's nothing wrong with temporal things. God made them, and many temporal things are necessary, just like food. But if Jesus had chosen the bread over the fast that God had told him to take, he would have substituted the temporal things for the eternal things, the things of this world for what is spiritual. We also will begin to run on empty if we substitute the things of this world for the things of God. And, you know, it's real easy for us. We're all here at Bible study. So, of course, this isn't a problem with us, right? We're taking in God's word. But, you know, does this happen to you? It's sort of like my Bible study for the day is just on my checklist. So I check it off, and then I go off, and the rest of the day I'm just ingesting the temporal. I'm just ingesting the things of the world. And that Bible study was just something really on a checklist, and it really didn't make any difference in my life. I have an elderly relative who has been a Christian for decades, and she reads a verse or two every day. She prays every day. The rest of the day, she fills her time with talking on the phone or watching television. And every night, she watches these political talk shows and is constantly upset and worried over the stream of issues that they keep putting in front of her. She lives in a state of worry and concern. She's very upset all the time. Instead of spending her latter years trusting God with the future, even being a light there in the midst of this senior residence where she lives, she's no different than anybody else. They all just talk all the time about the state of everything and how upset they are about it. She is running on empty. Those couple of Bible verses, that prayer, is not really what she's living on. But that doesn't have to be true. There's another choice. There's another way for us. We can choose to run on empty by focusing on the temporal over the eternal, or we can choose to fill up on God's word, which is our spiritual fuel. Now, how does God's word provide spiritual fuel for us so we can run the race well to the very end? Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It'll come up on the screen for you. Every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work. This passage expresses well the necessity of taking in God's word consistently so that we can live it out. He says here that God's word is useful for teaching. That means it's God's word that teaches us about God. That's how we know what God is like, and that's how we know what we are like, because he tells us. It also says it's for reproof. In other words, God's word is there to tell us what we're doing wrong. It's going to say, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. But it's also there for correction, which means if we're doing something wrong, it tells us what to change and how to fix it. And it is also, fourthly, for training in righteousness, which is the way God wants us to live. God's word is here so that we know how God would have us live, which is the best way to live on earth. The end result, then, he says, is that we're capable and equipped for every good work. In other words, it's God's word that prepares us to run that race, to live out the life that God would have us live. We aren't prepared if we're not taking in the word of God. We're not prepared for the good works that God has determined he has for each and every one of us. The purpose of taking in the scripture is to fuel our lives to follow God. Too often we think that we come to Bible study and we're just here to know the Bible. We're here to just take it all in, and then we're like people who eat all the time and never go out and exercise, and as a result, they just become fat and sick, right? Fat and sick. I'm working on it, but I'm not to the sick part yet. But Bible study is not about how much we know. We study God's Word so we're fueled up to live as God wants us to live. It's what sustains us. It's what gets us going. It's what gives us the energy to live out the life God would have us live. We don't meet here simply to know more about the Scripture. Now, we do want to know more. But it's not that's not where it ends. We are here so we love God more and we live our lives to His glory. The Scripture are the preparation for the works God has ordained for each one of us. He has something for you, ladies, each and every one of us. And it's the Scripture that's going to prepare you to do it. Bible study is really about action. So I guess today I'm calling us to action. I'm calling us to get going on the race. So let's look at some specifics as to how that works. Filling up with God's Word gives us spiritual food for becoming a person God can use. Let's read John 17, 17 to 19. This is Jesus' prayer the night before he was crucified. He said, "Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you have sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I set myself apart on their behalf so that they too may be truly set apart." The night before Jesus died, he spoke a prayer on behalf of everyone who would choose to follow him, including us. And he said that he has sent us into the world and he has set us apart for his own use. Now, your Bible or your translation may say that he sanctified us for his use or that he made us holy for his use. It's all the same word. In the Greek and Hebrew, it means that God takes us and he sets us apart over here for him to use us. It means that he cleanses us, that he has a purpose for us, that we're his now, and that he has something for us to do. And that's what Jesus said here. And he said that the method that God uses is his word. So as we take in God's word, he more and more is able to set us apart so he can use us more and more and more with those around us. Is part of your race to raise godly children? How do you do that? You become more and more the mother you're supposed to be by preparing yourself through the word of God. Is part of your race to be a light in your neighborhood or a light in your workplace? To do that, you have to be the person that God would have you to be. He wants to take you and set you apart more and more so he can use you in those places. And it's God's word that gives you the energy to do that. Look at Hebrews 4:12. This is one way that we see God's word sanctifies or set us apart for himself. It says, "The word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit and joints from marrow. It is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart." You know, we can deceive ourselves. I think we're doing pretty well. But God's word, it's just like it stabs you in the heart and says, "No, no, you're not doing so well." On Friday, there was a dog loose in our street. And I'm a dog person, so I just couldn't stand to think about this dog loose in the street. So I took it into my house, and it had a tag. So I called the number, and a woman answered. And sure enough, it was the owner. She lived a street over. And she finally said, "Well, I guess I'll come get the dog." And I said, "Okay, that would be good." 3.5 hours later, I still had the dog. And I had tried to call her several times, and she was no longer answering the phone. So at this point, I took the dog to her house, walked over there, and when she did not answer, I tied the dog to the doorknob because I really thought she was there ignoring me. Sure enough, as I got about a half block away, I looked back, and the door was opening, and the dog was disappearing into the house. I was so annoyed at this woman. I really can't tell you. But you know, God's word has a way of just stabbing you in the heart. And it wasn't like I was studying the Bible. But you know, all these scriptures I've been putting into my life, I shouldn't have been teaching the Bible so long. This is the problem. Because words start stabbing you in the heart. I started remembering, God started bringing to mind the fact that when I called her, she said she'd had a bad morning and I could hear children in the background. Now, why did I not just take the dog over there for her in the first place? Because I was too busy with my own stuff. And besides, I had saved the dog from possible death. She should have come and at least picked the dog up herself, right? But you know, God's word wouldn't let me get away with that. And that's what God's word does. And that's how God makes us into different people, by reminding us of what we should be instead of what we are. And if I want to be a light in that neighborhood to my neighbors, I've got to listen when God stabs my heart. I did call and apologize to her yesterday, but she wouldn't answer the phone, so I just left her a message. So not only is God's word a fuel for becoming the person that God wants to use, but it is also fuel for knowing God's will. We're going to look at Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illumine my path. To run God's race, we have to know what direction to go, don't we? Do I marry this guy? Do I have more children? Do I take this job? Do we move to another city? What do we do? And often that confusion is what drives us to prayer. We start praying about it. But the problem is often we have not fueled our minds with God's word. And so in prayer, we're just not sure God's really answering us. But I have found that God shows his will often just through what I have put into my mind and heart over years and years and years. Because it's because I've done that, that I know who God is, what he's like, and I need to act in accordance with what he's like and what he would have me to do. It's not always that there's a verse. Sometimes there is. But often it's just more the whole thing of all the fuel that I have put in that points to his will. God's word is also our spiritual fuel for having power against the enemy. We see this in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we had time to read the whole context, we would see that Paul is describing the battle against our enemy, Satan, who comes to us with lies. And the only offensive weapon in the list is the word of God. And that's exactly what we saw Jesus do when Satan came to tempt him. He quoted the word of God. He said, "It is written." That is the only way that when Satan comes to you and says, "It's okay to do that," when we know God said something else, or "You're not very valuable. Who do you think you are?" when we know that God says something else. We need to know God's word, and we have to consistently attack the enemy with the word and say, that is a lie. God says he loves me and that I'm valuable to him. So when the enemy attacks you, can you attack back with the word of God? You have to be putting it into your life so you're ready. You have to consistently counter his lies with the truth. Otherwise, you aren't fueled to run the race. You will end up lagging behind. You will end up stopping because the enemy is attacking you. Taking in God's word regularly must be a priority in our lives, ladies. It gets us fueled and it gets us ready to go in the race. Now, the fact that you're here means you've committed for the next 3 months to study God's word. You are saying that you're going to do exactly what I'm talking about. You know that you need fuel. And I think all of us as believers, we know this. We know it in our minds. But the temporal begins to take over. We begin to prioritize the temporal over the eternal. And what are some of those temporal things that we let get in the way of the spiritual? Okay. Yes. And that's really a good one for right now, Janie. Finances, jobs, money, looks, all sorts of things. I mean, our homes, we're so busy with them, we don't have time for God. Or just listening to everybody around us instead of to God. We aren't filling our minds with the eternal, we're filling it with the temporal. And it pulls us away, and then we can't run as God wants us to run. We don't have the energy. We can hardly stand up spiritually, much less run. So as we begin these next 3 months, I want to challenge you. Your enemy, Satan, doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you doing your homework every day because that is regularly putting God's word into your life. He doesn't want you coming because he doesn't want these other women to encourage you and challenge you and pray for you. And he doesn't want you encouraging them. You aren't in these groups by accident. God has put each and every one of you exactly where you are. And you aren't there just for you. You are there for those other women. You are there to encourage and love them. When you are missing, there's something missing in the group. There's something you could have said to encourage those other women. So don't let the enemy have a victory and let the temporal begin to take over when you know that you need that fuel day after day. We're going to watch a quick clip. It's a very old clip, but it just got me excited about running. So let's just watch this, and you think about yourself in a race. He had the energy at the very end to make it all the way through the end, and that's what I want us to think about doing. We are fueling ourselves up so that we can make it through day by day living for God, because that's what the race is about. It's about day by day. I found this t-shirt yesterday, and I bought it. It says, "Eat, sleep, run." That's the Christian life, ladies. We eat God's word. We fuel up for the race. We sleep. We rest. We rest ourselves because everything else is the race. Everything else in life is our race. Everything you do today is part of your race. It's not coming here that's your race. It's really what you do when you go out there. How are you going to be fueled to go out there and run the race that God has called you to run? And we're going to see more about this race as we go through week after week through your lessons. But hang in there, because without the energy of God's word, we will falter and we will stop and we won't make it to the end. And we won't have the energy that we need to finish the race. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we don't run the race all at once, that we run it day by day. And you give us the power to run if we fuel ourselves with the energy. Give us the grace. Give us the motivation so that each and every day we are truly taking in fuel, and that we won't let the temporal outweigh what we've done spiritually. Father, just keep us from making it a checklist, but that it'll be truly time with you when you really fuel us up for what's ahead. And you know, we don't ever know what that is, Lord, but you do. And you can give us the power and the fuel that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.